This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will. He's Jake.
You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake.
On today's show, Will and Jake discuss what they're thankful for in wrestling. Because it's Thanksgiving. You know? Hey guys, since it's Thanksgiving weekend, I'll make this short and sweet. If you want some of the best wrestling coverage on the net in an ad-free version, sign up for ProWrestling.net membership. Head to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or $7.50, get yourself some wrestling coverage. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show. So Jake, as people listen to this, it is, I think, the day after Thanksgiving. I think that's what Jason said we would do, but to be honest, I did not read his message fully, nor did I comprehend all of it, but let's go with day after Thanksgiving. What are you most thankful for in wrestling this year in 2016?
Yeah, it's difficult to think about, like, because we complain so damn much that it's like, man, think about what you're really positive about. And I think, you know, I guess for me personally, it's been having an opportunity to move with SmackDown to covering on Tuesdays and watch how that show has sort of evolved from being what I think was quite possibly the most boring show that WWE produced to being, I think, the better of the two primetime wrestling shows. And that's what I'm thankful for, because I cover it, you know, and transcript it for 2 hours every Tuesday. And it used to be a pretty long slog to get through a lot of those shows, especially, you know, holiday episodes, things like that. So I'm really thankful that SmackDown has seen a nice jump in quality over the last few months.
Yeah, that's been something really nice coming out of the brand split. Possibly, like, the true highlight of the brand split is what the SmackDown brand has done, especially with less, with far less talent than the Raw brand has, with a probably less or fewer overall resources dedicated to it. The SmackDown brand has become a real joy to watch. I got up today, it's Wednesday as we're recording this, and I woke up and was like, I want to watch SmackDown on Hulu today. Like, I want to watch and enjoy this. And I did. I think the SmackDown brand is definitely a bright spot for WWE creatively. I heard you and Jason talking, I believe, or it may have been Jason and Brian, but kind of talking about after Survivor Series, how SmackDown needs to shake things up a little bit, how, okay, well, we've had these feuds now for a long time. It's probably time to move on. And I agree with that, but the way SmackDown has structured them, there are so many of the feuds, like AJ and Dean Ambrose, there is still an issue there. There is still something to fight for. It's not like you are going into the eighth Roman Reigns versus Rusev match going, oh, good, this time Lana's suspended in a shark cage. Well, Roman Reigns won six of these, so he'll probably still win the seventh. Or, you know, you're not waiting in that way. You're actually engaged in the stories, and they've done such a great job. I would highlight just the James Ellsworth story, including him getting a contract on last night's show, as a real, real highlight of making something out of legitimately nothing.
Yeah, that's been remarkable. I mean, I can't believe how much effort they've actually put into making James Ellsworth a thing. And, you know, having him, you know, I think it's three consecutive victories over AJ Styles now in fluke fashion, which has been, you know, entertaining to watch. And I know people are going to complain about AJ, you know, taking losses, but honestly, it's been, you know, so lighthearted and comedic that I don't think he's really lost anything in the process. And if anything, he's just shown how good he is, making Ellsworth look like $1 million, when I don't think a lot of other people could do that. So that's another thing to be thankful for, honestly, is that, you know, we've really gotten a chance to see what AJ Styles is capable of in this kind of spotlight. And I think he's really shown everybody that he belonged in WWE, you know, years ago. And maybe, you know, it was leaving TNA and finding himself in New Japan that was finally the catalyst that, you know, sort of let him hone all of his skills to this level. But he's been fantastic in WWE.
I think there's a confidence for AJ Styles that came out of that New Japan run. I mean, he, you know, TNA seems like the place most people's confidence goes to die, including my confidence in pro wrestling as a storytelling medium for most of its existence. But I look at TNA and I see a company that kind of beat up AJ Styles. They took someone who was for years the best wrestler in the world and, you're not entertaining enough. You need to act like Ric Flair. We're going to put you back down in the X Division. We're going to call you Mr. TNA and make you the centerpiece, but we're never really going to center on you. And every time we bring in someone from the outside, be it Kurt Angle or Jeff Hardy, you are going to get pushed down after a short feud with them. And I would say that AJ has done a really, really nice job in WWE of being that entertaining guy, being great, being his own character. If you would have told me a year ago that we'd be looking, that we would be smack dab in the middle of a good, long AJ Styles WWE championship run, I probably would have fainted. AJ was still in New Japan at the time. It was looking like AJ was going to be there for the foreseeable future, and I'm really dumbfounded by it, and it's really cool. Like, it is a neat thing that WWE has been able to pull off with AJ Styles, and I look at him so much as just a competent, awesome wrestler. And for years, even in Japan, he was looked at as, oh, well, he's good. I mean, he's really good. But never as AJ Styles, the sports entertainer, always as the wrestler. And I think he's so much the complete package in WWE that his defection to WWE and subsequent run in WWE up to this point is definitely something to be thankful for.
And I think it's, yeah, I guess it's something that we thought about pretty extensively, you know, when the brand split was first announced and we had conversations about that, was that, well, maybe we will see guys like Kevin Owens and AJ Styles get a chance, you know, at the top. And then we have, you know, to their credit, seen that. I mean, is it exactly the way, you know, people would book it if they were, you know, getting their chance to make their favorite indie star the biggest, you know, biggest attraction at WWE? Maybe not. I mean, it's, you know, there are criticisms to be made there, but they're certainly getting an opportunity. And AJ Styles, you know, has been the guy on SmackDown and treated as the guy on SmackDown since he won the championship. You know, going back to even before he won the championship with that victory over John Cena. So I think it's gone really well. I mean, for him specifically. And I mean, if there's one, you know, thing about SmackDown that I think they, you know, they need to take a hard look at is that watching last night's show, you know, as a, you know, as a whole, at times it almost felt like, you know, an improv troupe putting on a wrestling show. it really did, you know, it didn't feel like people were really anxious about getting title shots, and, you know, like there was so much, you know, comedy and inside humor and things like that, where at times it was like, well, I don't know if I would have pushed it that far, but I think, you know, they were entertaining, and I, you know, in the moment, of course, it, you know, you get a laugh and stuff. I just don't know if that's like a good long-term focus for a wrestling show, but maybe it's just one of those things that came about because they've been in these feuds for so long. They just feel like they have to get creative about how they present them on television.
Yeah, there are a lot of things on that show that felt improv-y and kind of, kind of wacky. It was definitely one of the wackier shows. I can tell you something I'm not thankful for as we talk about SmackDown. That god-awful announce team. I'm watching this show. It's not just that there are four of them. It's that Mauro and JBL both talk like this the entire time! And are basically screaming at you the entire time you watch. And I'm including Mauro and the god-awful announce team. And I say, he's a good announcer. He's a really good announcer when there's someone who's not yelling at you right next to him. And when he uses levels, but on SmackDown, it honestly sounds like all he does is yell. All JBL does is yell. Otunga just awkwardly interjects. And Tom Phillips is like, can you believe they're paying me on Tuesday nights? It's absolutely,
they call him
ridiculous.
A host. Like, yeah. What does that even mean? Like, a host of what? He's just he's sitting there just like everybody else. Like, it makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, I really strongly dislike the SmackDown announce team and would say that they make the show actively worse, which is a bummer because it is the best thing WWE is producing right now. I think it's their most compelling weekly show. it's to me, it's more exciting than NXT. It's better than Raw by leaps and bounds. It's a fun show. But yeah, with WWE, I'm thankful for that SmackDown brand. I'm thankful for AJ Styles, and really just kind of thankful for where things have landed on the SmackDown side of things. I can say too, selfishly, I'm really thankful that Shinsuke Nakamura is in WWE, even though they're squandering him in NXT in a way, mostly because I get to see Shinsuke Nakamura live a time or two a year, and that's pretty special.
Yeah, I guess Jason and Zach, you know, kind of spoke about a couple of tweets that I made after he lost on Sunday or Saturday night, excuse me. And I really was hoping that he would come up to the main roster undefeated and have, you know, that in his belt along with that aura of invincibility that really, I think, makes his character feel kind of special. I mean, it's a, you know, part of his charisma, of course. But, you know, when a guy hasn't been beaten, I think it makes it a little bit easier to accept him, even though he has, you know, like the language barrier and some other things that I think are negatives that people on the main roster, specifically Vince and Kevin Dunn and others, and will probably, you know, seize upon as reasons not to give him all the opportunities he deserves. So I hope that's not the case, and I'm sure people will end up forgetting that loss. But it's been a joy to watch him work, and hopefully, you know, eventually when he makes it up to the main roster, he'll have a hellacious experience up there as well. I really want to see him have a lot of matches up on the main roster.
Yeah, I am ready for him to come up to the main roster, and I'm really curious how they're going to push him. I kind of wonder, because he's a guy who, in New Japan, never seemed to lose his mystique, even with losses. And Nakamura was, you know, kind of, he lost a lot. Not super often, not the way WWE weekly TV talents just trade victories, but Nakamura rarely won the super big match. He was usually second from the top at Wrestle Kingdom. He might win a lot of those. He might have won a lot of those, but he wasn't the tippy top guy a lot of times. That was usually Tanahashi or Okada. He was not that. So I wonder how he'll be used in like weekly WWE TV. I think NXT kind of has bent over backwards to make him invincible, and I don't mind that. And honestly, I don't mind him losing to Samoa Joe, especially if the plan is Joe to be the standard bearer in NXT moving forward. If Vince McMahon has watched and gone like, well, I want Shinsuke, I don't really want Joe up on the main roster. He's doing great. I get that. So it doesn't bug me too much. But I'm curious to see what Shinsuke and Joe end up doing, say, around WrestleMania weekend this year. What do you think? I kind of mentioned this.
They're having a takeover in San Antonio for Royal Rumble as well.
Are they? So, yeah. Wow.
I've heard rumblings about that just today, actually.
Rumblings. Royal rumblings?
Royal rumblings, yeah. I plan on being at the Rumble, but I don't know if I'll be able to get down there for both days.
Yeah, it's that seems like quite the trek. The Rumble being 60,000 people this next year seems a little ambitious to me, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. What are you thankful for outside of WWE?
Well, to be honest, I think despite the exodus of talent that they had at the beginning of the year with Anderson and Nakamura and Styles and, you know, Gallows leaving, I think New Japan has done a wonderful job sort of keeping their momentum going. I think they might be putting on just as good of a production, you know, today that they were a year ago when they had, you know, they're a lot more big stars that they had already sort of made at that point. And so I'm thankful that they were able to absorb that loss of talent, move people into the right positions, you know, push the right people in Naito and Kenny Omega and others, and still, you know, make New Japan, I think, a destination for people who really enjoy wrestling, not as much as they enjoy sports entertainment. So that's something that I look forward to. You know, I haven't been as actively watching it as I was a year ago, but I still do catch up on occasion, and it's been excellent.
I would say Kenny Omega has been a real, like, central cog in that, too, and I'm really excited. I'm excited to see him going forward in the next couple years. Omega winning the G1 was huge. He's one of the first gaijin to do so. It's a major, major deal. I'm excited to see Omega going forward. I want to see what he does at Wrestle Kingdom and how he performs. I'm eagerly anticipating that because I think it's going to be fantastic. Kenny Omega is a star that I'm very, very excited to watch over the next year and has been a joy to watch in this past year. I'm also excited to see, speaking of outside of WWE, I'm excited to see what the scene looks like after, say, Ring of Honor Final Battle, after a lot of those Ring of Honor and New Japan contracts run out towards the end of this year. I want to see what developments happen. Are we going to get another major kind of series of WWE signings the way we did last year? People have talked about Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, like some key guys, even Kyle O'Reilly's name has been bandied about as people who WWE would be looking at and excited to bring into the NXT brand or to the main roster in general. I want to see what happens there. I want to see who they bring in and how they bring them in. If there will be anyone brought in, say, like AJ Styles was, where AJ Styles was shot straight to the main roster, straight to the top of the main roster, really, had some awesome main events, and is still having great matches as main events right now in WWE. I want to see if they can bring anyone else in and have that kind of luck with them. AJ's obviously a special talent, and I also want to see how the indie scene replenishes itself. Via text message, Zach Zimmerman gave me crap for a couple weeks ago on .NET Weekly saying, the indie guys I want to see are in WWE now. I don't really care. And there are guys that I want to see that aren't in WWE. I'm curious to see where a lot of those guys end up. And I want to see where that next generation is going to come from, who those next generation guys are. And speaking of that, I think one of the guys that has been a building block to the last generation of indie talent and this current one and will be to the next generation, Chris Hero. Can we all just take a second and be thankful that Chris Hero's in our lives and that he is doing the wrestles? Because Chris Hero is a standout star of 2016. He was a standout star of the last few years. He has just been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him in person a handful of times now here in Austin and up in Dallas with you. I think it's, you know, it's remarkable to watch him work. You know, he has his style and the modern indie style down to, you know, it's well honed. He's probably the best at it at this point. And so I don't think he either wants to or, you know, they wouldn't be interested. But WWE is not going to come knocking on his door. But I think he'll be instrumental in bringing up that next generation of guys who, you know, are still going to be a part of what has become the indie feeder system for WWE. It sure seems like they're having a difficult time bringing people up, you know, homegrown.
Yeah, WWE doesn't seem to be training the greatest guys. The Performance Center isn't turning out guys that they even seem comfortable using on NXT takeovers, aside from, like, this past one this last week. What, the Authors of Pain? I'm trying to think of who else actually on that show. It was, you know, homegrown, built from the ground up by WWE, and it's really hard to think of anyone that fits that bill. And in a sense, I'm fine with that, because the indies have been a better feeder system for WWE for many years. The indies, as long as WWE doesn't rob them all at once, will continue to be a great feeder system for WWE. I don't necessarily feel like they need to have the best in-house training. I think they should have a good in-house training program. I think they should have a better finishing program than they seem to. But hopefully WWE is able to get that on track, because more talent is always going to be better. More talent is going to help them in the future. But they haven't exactly been bringing... They aren't exactly turning, you know, Bull Dempseys into stars. in most cases.
I think they do have you know, things in the works. You know, they have Shawn Michaels, who is apparently going to be doing what you just spoke about,
which finishing,
is bringing guys to, you know, from the, you know, the level of being an indie star where they've worked all over the world and they have a certain level of skill and they know who they are as a wrestler, and he's going to, you know, sort of put the finishing touches on how to make them a television star, which is something that is a very different thing altogether. So I think that's, you know, that's an approach that could pay dividends for them, especially with somebody, you know, who is probably the best ever in Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. They need that. I hope Shawn Michaels is, I hope he is successful in turning these guys into TV stars and showing them what's missing, because Shawn Michaels is a guy who could even take some of that top level indie talent. I mean, Shawn Michaels is a guy who could take a Roderick Strong, who just joined NXT, and turn him into a major star, really help him and give him those missing pieces that I think a lot of people see in his game. Jake, anything else you want to shout out that you are very thankful for as we wrap up this Thanksgiving themed episode? Barbed wire Christmas trees in the next couple months definitely are acceptable as things to be thankful for before we get them.
Well, I guess in terms of wrestling, I think we covered everything, but there's a lot of things in life that I'm thankful for: family and friends and
new Star Wars movies.
Great new Star Wars movies, of course, fit that bill. I did see Fantastic Beasts, by the way. It was excellent.
Yeah, it's really good. I honestly think Fantastic Beasts is the best Harry Potter film.
I would have a hard time disagreeing with you. So yeah. There's plenty to be thankful about, if as long as you avoid negative topics, I think.
Yeah.
they're out there too, but this is a Thanksgiving show, and I think, you know, if I had to make a list in my life, there's a lot more things that I'm thankful for than I'm not. So I'm very proud of that, actually.
Same here. We should have a Thanks-taking show, like starring Jason sometime, where he just thanks us for 20 minutes.
I'll bring that up to him. We'll see how far it goes.
And with that, we'll wrap it up. Jake, you will have had Thanksgiving by the time people hear this, but I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, man.
You do the same.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!